this is one addict's experience, not necessarily the opinion of Narcotics Anonymous.
From Norristown, okay. Yeah, you told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Guys, know him. I only met Kurt a couple hours ago at the front door, you know. We were talking, he said, I'm Kurt. I said, I'm Phil. I said, are you the Kurt on the second step? He said, yeah. I said, cool, I'm the chair. And that was it, you know. I'm just been looking forward to this, you know. The second step is what Phil's the hall, the first step left, you know. And that's all I can say on it. Thank you, Kurt.
My name's Kurt, and I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've been, like, nervous. And I thought that that it would be a lot of people I didn't know, and I know a lot of people in the room, and I'm still nervous. So I was asked to do this, I guess a month ago, and I'm on vacation from work, and I was planning on being, like, away for 2 weeks, and I thought about, like, not doing it for that reason, like saying, you know, I got this, I'm going to be on vacation, I'm going to be down the shore, and and it kind of hit me. I'm a little slow to realize these things, but that kind of hit me that this is what I needed to do. And that I was asked to speak on the second step in the second tradition because that my higher power, who I choose to call God, kind of worked through the people here to say, Kurt, if you talk about it, maybe you'll remember, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. And like people have been saying, the second step is a solution to the problem that we have, that I have. Insanity is a mild word. I guess I've gotten used to it over the years, but I was so detached from reality that I thought that the best thing I could do was get loaded. And I truly believe that, you know. And I wasn't happy doing it. As a matter of fact, you know, I was miserable doing it. And I felt like I was looking out at the whole rest of the world. And I was separate from everything and everybody, you know, just caught in this thing. And that the best thing I could do, that I would be like, I would be fortunate if I could get loaded. You know, I thought in my head, I ought to be grateful. You know, if I could get loaded, that was all I deserved. You know, and I was doing good. And I know you understand what I'm talking about. I mean, it's such a contradiction. It's the thing, you know, I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? Repeating the same mistakes like it says in the basic text and thinking that was the best that I could ever hope for and that there was absolutely nothing else available to me. Maybe to you, to, you know, everybody else in the world, but not to me. You know, I would look out at people doing like halfway normal things, like having a few dollars in their pocket, you know, walking into a store and say, oh, yeah, I need some of that, and buying it, and I would be amazed. And I thought that I was not capable of doing it. You know, and in the clutches of this disease, I wasn't. I don't believe that we are all the same. I believe that we are all the same. We all have the same disease. And I believe that the bond that ties us together is a spiritual bond that comes from that, from being privileged to have found, you know, a way to arrest this thing. And have a life. That insanity of being out there and not seeing any way out, you know, I was talking to somebody on the way in about how, you know, unity and being a part of you showed me that there was something else. I came in to get out of the cold. You know, I didn't think, I knew that I couldn't use it. I mean, I knew, you know, rehabs and this and that. I knew that I could not use. You know, I had no delusions at the end that there was any possible way for me to use and survive. I couldn't take it. You know, it wasn't like I thought I was going to die the next day. I just could not take it. You know, it was like some kind of torture chamber in them war movies or somebody, you know, I could not stand it. I funked out. No, I don't care how miserable the alternative is. I'm done. I went running back to the rehab. I said, just tell me what to do. And I didn't have any visions of it being anything worthwhile. I wasn't looking forward to it. I'm done. And the second step, and it came, you know, in the beginning, I thought that there was this group of people in NA that were like gods, I guess. I mean, I didn't say that in my mind, but that they were like gods. That there was this small group of people who came up to see me at the rehab and said, you know, if you want what we have, you know, we'll come and get you and give it to you. And I didn't understand it, but I believed them. And I thought they were real, real special people. And it was just, and I gave all of my stuff to them. And I understand, you know, we talked about the program and we, you know, we had what a friend of mine in Cleveland calls the Mother Fellowship 12 and 12 and crossed out alcohol and wrote drugs in. That was the best that we could do. But I didn't really, I mean, I understood some things, but the only thing I really understood was that there was people that had something in common with me, that had a life, and that they were letting me hang out with them and they were sharing it with me, and I had some hope for something. This is what happened. Was one day I was living in a halfway house and I was doing some life new things. I was going to school and some stuff that was like new for me because I couldn't walk down the street when I was out there. I couldn't walk. I walked down the street. I couldn't walk. But I was coming home to this halfway house and I was thinking, you know, I was bored. I was getting that feeling, you know, like that call of the wild. And I went into my room in the halfway house and there was an income tax refund check on the bed. And I picked up that check and I had that feeling. You know the feeling, right? And somehow, and this, there was no like bolt for lightning or anything or no like big shock to me. But somehow later on that night, I realized that for the first time in this addict's life, I had that feeling and I had a check in my hand and I didn't get high. And nobody was with me. All them gods in NA weren't with me. You know, I wasn't at a meeting. I was by myself. And one of the things that those gods, and I say that with respect, I mean, the people saved my ass, you know, but I understand today that it's, you know, whether it was Jack or whether it was Bruce or who was here before or after, that part of it's all the same. They taught me that I should try and do some kind of praying. They taught me to ask something to help me stay clean. They said, you know, this is what we do. You know, we can't do it. You know, you can't do it. You prove that. This is what you do. Pray. Say, God, or whatever you want to say, help me to stay clean. I thought, I didn't know what I was, I didn't know. I had this idea of God, that God was going to punish me for my sin, you know, for my wrongdoing. So I thought, when I started saying God, I went like this, God, I thought like some bolts were going to be shooting down at me. But I did it. And I realized that day with that check in my hand, or later on that night, that there was something in my life that was bigger than what I could see. You know, that it was more than the people. That the stuff that they were telling me to do in this program, you know, that there was something to it. You know, that was what was happening. That there was a power greater than us. You know, not just greater than me, greater than us. And that I actually had something working in my life that I just had to hold on to. And you know, I came to believe that I didn't have to use anymore, you know, and that it was because of those people, but what they were doing was sharing this thing with me. And I got involved in service. I've been around for a while. I've been around longer than I was out there. I'm, God willing, that in April I'll have 15 years. So, and I say that to get this historically, when I came around, this would have been a giant meeting. Giant meeting. And, like, if somebody walked in the room that I didn't know, no, I knew they were a newcomer. You know, and I'm not just talking about 10 minutes from where I live. I'm talking about an hour, 2 hours. But anyway, I forgot what I was going to even say. Oh, sir. People said, you know, we're going to have a business meeting. And I said, what's that? They said, what are you saying? You'll find out. And I was too scared. Jim was talking about being about fear. I was too scared to do anything different. I just stayed. And people said, we're going to a prison. We got a commitment. I said, okay. I'm riding out to the prison. I said, who's speaking? You are. I didn't know any. The only thing I knew wasn't working, and I knew that. So that's how I got involved. I went out to Wilkes-Barre for a regional thing. I didn't know area, regional. So I didn't know anything. People said, we're going up to Wilkes-Barre. There's other addicts there. In N.A., you can meet some new people. I sat in the back of the car. I looked out the window. I don't know where I'm going. I get up there. I don't know what they were talking about, you know. But that, so I got involved that way, to service. I just did whatever anybody else was doing. But I was involved in area service when there was one area in this, like, I guess, 400 or 500 square miles. And eventually I got involved back when areas started splitting up in Montgomery County area services. And I had a position in there of care person. And I had a guy who had an office too. It was the easiest job I ever had, because all I had to do was run the meeting. And every once in a while I would get confused and think that I was supposed to do something more than that, and he would say, God, it's okay. I would like to, oh, wait, they're going to do this, the hotline, it's not being answered, it's costing too much money, and somebody would run up to me and say, hey, he's screwing up the hotline, what are you going to do about it? And I'd go, I don't know, what am I going to do? Oh, Jesus, you know, I didn't. And then they said, God's program. I'd say, thank God it's God's program. Because I'll guarantee you something. If it was my program, I'd fuck it up. For all of you. Not because I want to, but I would. That's what the physician tells us. You know, that first line, I was in a panic today. You know, say, oh. I'm half crazy anyway, but I was thinking, I got to share, I got to say something. I'm opening up the book, and I open up to the second tradition, and it says, this tradition is to protect us from ourselves. I'm like, that's right. You know, I get into these eyes all the time. I got to do this. I know. I'm going to share. I got 14 years. You know, not my program. You know, this guy that I was involved in area service with, he's doing Miami constantly. This is God's program. This is the way, this is what I believe. And he just lets us use it. You know, he lets us use it, and he gives us the privilege of sharing it with other people. You know, and a friend of mine puts it this way. This thing works when we are like tunnels or tubes or pipelines or whatever, and the program can just flow through us. Whenever we get ourselves too involved in it, you know, whenever Kurt thinks, well, you know, I know how to run this meeting, and that pipeline gets out of whack and shit starts spilling all over, you know, and the newcomer and the old timer and the whoever gets mixed up shit, my shit, you know, but if I just get right in the way, you know, if I just get right in line with the steps and the traditions in this program and just share it with you, you know, not Kurt's vision, you know, but just share the program, then you're going to get it. You know, and I never feel more spiritual than when I can do that. You know, sometimes, like, I speak and I think, well, you know, I want people to listen, I want people to like me, I want to say something that makes sense or sounds good and all that shit. And at times when people, like, really come up to me and say, Kurt, you really sound good, there's the times when I'm out of the way and I'm just like, it just comes through me. The times when I'm, like, up here really, like, telling you how to do it and what I think, and you know, people are like, hey, he's at it again, you know. And I walk out thinking, what's wrong? You know, the thing that I say a lot is that I used to come to meetings and I used to, like, try and say the right thing. You know, I'd listen to you say something, and if you weren't there the next night, I'd say it, you know. And people liked it when you said it, and I'd say it, and they'd be like, keep coming back, Kurt. And then I'd come in a meeting, and I would say, like, I'd get so caught up with my own shit trying to do it my way that I'd come into meetings eventually and start babbling like a fool. And I, because I couldn't hold it in no more. And then I look around the room and say, oh, shit. Now they know. You know, I don't even know what I said. And these people come to me and say, man, you sounded good tonight. I'm thinking, sounded good? I don't even know what I said. Well, I got out of the way. I'm not trying to do this thing right. I'm just getting in line. You know, it's not. And I say this stuff because I forget it. You know, I get mad at myself a lot of times. I mean, I've sat in meetings, you know, or talked to somebody and heard the same thing that I've heard 1,000 times or said and thought, that's right, dummy. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's the way this thing works. And I get mad at myself, but, you know, that's the way it does work. You know, when I first came around, there were a lot of times when I was so grateful I would cry. And I mean, just that I was alive, you know, that I could think, that I knew what day it was, that I could walk down the street. I mean, cry. Eating my cereal. Some people know me a long time, used to. They joke about it. They say I used to come to meetings and say, I walked down the street chewing gum and at the same time I didn't fall on my face and cry in a meeting. I don't think that I said that. But I did come to meetings and talk about some pretty simple shit and cry. Because it was a miracle that I was functioning in this world from feeling so desperate and hopeless that I couldn't do anything. You know, and I got some time and that kind of faded. You know, over the years. I'm grateful, believe me. This is the best thing that ever happened to me, and I wouldn't trade it in. But I don't get that same feeling walking down the street. It doesn't seem like quite as much of a miracle. And I thought, that's because you're not working the program. That's because you're not getting on good spiritual ground. You're not doing something right. And I said in a meeting one time, you know, the only time I feel anything like that is when I'm with a newcomer. And then I realized, the way it's supposed to work. That's what people have been telling me all along. Now, that's what the whole thing is. I can't remember, but unless my own devices, I think I deserve everything I got and what you got too. You know? And I forget the miracle of this thing that we have. But when I sit in a room and listen to a newcomer, or anybody, but, you know, it's somebody where it's real fresh and it's just great, like I was. But to be able to walk down the street, that's the closest I get to that feeling. And it's pretty damn close. I don't always cry, but it fills me up. And that's the way the program works, you know. Like I said before, and I'm bouncing back and forth. I guess for me, the second step in the second tradition just tells me that, you know, that, like people say often, you know, there is a God and I'm not it, you know, and that this thing is a gift from that higher power, however you want to conceive that, that this is something that's been given to us, that it works for anybody, it works in spite of us. I believe that Narcotics Anonymous and the God that I believe gave this program to us is too big for any of us to fuck up. I believe it'll be here long after we're all gone. I believe there's no controversy in politics and purism or any, you know, name or label or faction or issue that you can think of or that you've experienced or heard of that's going to screw this thing up. You know, I think that we're going through growing pains. I don't do well with change a lot of times. I'm so full of myself sometimes. I had some guy come up to me and tell me something about an institutional commitment. One of the ways that recently I've been, the service that I've done more recently has been institutional commitment. Somehow it just keeps it simpler for me. I get confused real easy. Going to an institution and reminds me of what this is about. And I had a guy come up to me, to make a long story short, and start telling me that I was going to do in this institution. I was going to give this guy my phone number or a phone. I forgot what it was. But this guy walked into a conversation I was having, and he started telling me, you can't do that. And I almost said to him, you know who I am? I stopped myself. But I was ready to say this. You know who I am? Now he would have said, no, who the fuck are you? And I don't know what I would have said. But so that's how goofy I can get. And who I am is I'm another recovering addict that's been given the gift to be a member of this program. But I left to my own devices, I won't always remember that. I'll think either I don't need this program, or that I invented it, or that I'm in charge of it, you know, any one of them things. By being a member of a group, by letting group conscience work, you know, by looking at that, you know, that gives me and us, you know, some peace. It gives us something to believe. It gives me something to believe. You know, I know that if something comes up in the group, you know, whatever way it comes out is the way it's supposed to come out. And it might be something that I think is totally ridiculous. Oh, that's, what the hell are they doing there? It doesn't really matter what I think. I'll speak in the, you know, in group conscience, I'll say what I think. I'll vote. And whatever happens is the way it's supposed to be, and we'll grow from that. You know? If we're in the meeting together and we're talking to each other and we're remembering the newcomer and we're doing the basic stuff, you know, it doesn't matter whether the meeting ends at 8:30 or 8:45. You know? It doesn't matter whether, you know, I mean, that little shit doesn't really matter. What matters is that we'll learn how to work together with this thing, and this thing is bigger than all that. You know, and we learn from each other. And as, you know, as long as we don't put anybody in charge, we're going to be all right. And I know I need to be here. I'm going to shut up and let you say something. Thanks.
Remind everybody that the steps and the traditions are positive spiritual principles within our fellowship, and with that, I'll open the floor. You want to come up here?
I didn't know I was going to have to get up here. I probably wouldn't have raised my hand, but I want to thank Kirk for sharing and for sharing too. And, you know, this second tradition really got me thinking. You were talking about the group and being in charge and all that kind of stuff. And it just reminded me that there's a group of us that are trying to start a meeting back where I live, where we live. And I went to talk to the pastor on Wednesday of this church that we're hoping to have the group at, and he starts asking me questions like, he shows me a room that we could use, and he says, well, the janitor has to set this up for a group that meets in here on Sunday night, and he sets it up in a circle. Would that be good for your group? And I want to think immediately, yeah, a circle would be good. And then I just kind of caught myself, and I said, well, it's not up to me, you know, And I want it to be up to me. Like, I was thinking along the lines of a step meeting, and then another person that's probably going to be a member of the group said, well, maybe the 27 principles, you know, the 12 and 12 and honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I thought, but, you know, I'm the one who came up with this idea for this group, and, you know, I don't really like that, you know, and then I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, really whatever is the will of the group, which I believe is God's will. You know, like we were at our home group a couple months ago, and somebody made a motion, and another person seconded it, and then when they voted, they didn't vote for the motion. And I was nuts. You know, it got voted down because these people didn't vote for it. And I guess I just have to remember that's God's will. And, you know, what you're sharing about, you know, coming around and feeling that spirit in the fellowship and in the rooms, that's something that I really felt early in my recovery. And there are times that I'd like to get that back. And a lot of those times I forget that I can get that by getting with a newcomer who's going through the same feelings and experiencing the same things that I felt when I came around. Because I believe that in my early recovery is maybe when I just felt the presence of my higher power the closest. And I'm not real proud of that, you know, but that's being honest. And you also talking about insanity, and as a lot of people who are in my life know, my life has been real crazy lately, and there's just a lot of times that I don't do a whole lot about it, you know. I've been going through a lot of change, and I'm not good with that. And I just really felt like I was directed here tonight. And I rode up with a newcomer, and we shared. And, you know, it's the same kind of thing that you were talking about when you were sharing. It's when I share it, when I give some of it away, I get it back. When I talk about how we work this program, I'm working it. You know what I mean? I'm talking about it. And I don't know. It's just a miracle that's how it works, that we have to give to receive, and that if I don't, I don't get anything. You know, you know, that's going to keep me coming back. And thanks for letting me share.
Attic and my name is Jerome. How you going, family? First of all, I need to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here. My family is truly grateful. I'm kind of nervous, you know, but this is the first time I'm coming up here to share. I got like 11 and a half months coming up to my year. And you know, today is truly a blessing to be here. You know, on a Friday, I usually doing the other thing while I was in my active addiction. So, you know, it's like a big change that, you know, I'm sitting here in this room talking about, you know, getting my life together one day at a time. You know, I was hearing about the second step and the second tradition, you know, and I am like on the, I have done, getting to work the second step, and I haven't gotten to the second tradition, but, through the second step, I have experienced the faith and the sanity. I didn't have any problem with the second step. I meant that I need to be restored to sanity because I look at my track record and a lot of things I have done in active addiction that really was insane, you know. Like a lot of times, you know, like I would take in... I have like another disease of asthma, and you know, instead of buying my medicine, a lot of times, you know, I'd be suffering with asthma attacks, and I would go out and buy the drug instead of buying the medicine that I need, and you know, and I feel that's real insane, you know, and a lot of things I have done, you know, like on a Friday, I would get paid, and I would stay out all night and come in the following day, nothing to eat, you know, and really feeling bad and all that, and then, you know, by Sunday before Monday, you know, for another week, I would somehow tell myself the next week, you know, I'd do it different, and the insanity would repeat itself over and over again, you know, and, you know, something happened within that, you know, towards the end part of active addiction, you know, nothing just wouldn't work, you know, and the result of that, that's why I'm here, you know. I ain't got too much to say, you know, I just listen and learn, and learn and listen, that's the principle that I practice on the daily basis. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing.
I'm an addict, my name is Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I want to say this is a
really special day for me. 12 years ago, yesterday, it was the beginning of the end. I was riding around in a car, bag full of Quaaludes, bag of reefer, a bottle of vodka, another guy who just got out of prison, and we was on a mission to rob something. Anything, it didn't matter. But I was scared to do it. So I went home to where I was living, and my girlfriend called me a sissy and a pussy. She put on her coat and went with the guy. Was going to. So I chose to go do this burglary. And yesterday, after 12 years, today, I'm a totally free person. I mean, and a week ago, I had no idea that there was even a convention here. But, you know, God intervened in my life through people, and for some reason, I'm supposed to be here. No, I came to the room of NA about 3.5 years ago in Norristown. There was several people who were sitting in this room now that tried to reach out to me. Tried to help me, tried to give me their love. But the insane thinking that I had wouldn't allow them in. You know, I wasted so much time and energy with this sick thinking up here. It's unreal. You know, I just want to say to all these people, I appreciate what you did for me. You know, my trust level and my walls were so thick, I just wasn't letting nobody in. You know, some people get it easy, some don't. Last month, I celebrated a year for the first time in my life. Without it. For the last month and a half, the insane thinking has been in my head. Before, I was afraid to talk about my thoughts about wanting to get higher, thinking about using it. I thought I would be less than everybody else. You know, I was scared to say that I'm thinking about using. And I tried to handle it myself, and it didn't work. You know, it just got bigger and bigger until I eventually picked up. You know, I come to learn after 3 rehabs, and, I mean, numerous amount of meetings. Sometimes not always, I mean, physically in the meetings, but not always mentally there. I mean, just sitting here, I looked over at Steve, and he was talking about he's playing a lot of golf. And I'll show you how the insanity works. And I'm thinking, well, maybe one day, you know, in a little fantasy, that maybe I'll be on a golf course playing a professional golf, you know, with my hair in a ponytail, earring, and sunglasses. And that's, you know, and I had to catch myself and say, well, Bruce, you know, where do you belong? You know, where do you belong? You know, you know, and I have to do that to myself to get my head right. You know, I'm learning that I'm okay. That I'm an all right person. You know, most of my life I was ridiculed by my parents, by my friends, by my family, because I was rebellious. You know, all I wanted in my life was love, and I couldn't get that. My father was a stone-cold alcoholic, and the family situation at home was chaotic. You know, and it was chaotic on the streets. I was raped by kids when I was 7 years old. And until I was 14, they harassed me for it almost every day. So that's why when I came into these rooms, I couldn't trust nobody. I didn't want to trust nobody, but I do today. That's the only way I'm going to make it in life. You know, in the past month and a half, I've been thinking a lot about getting high. You know, there's been a lot of things coming up in my life, dude. You know, around my birthday, I get crazy. You know, with coming up on a year. Just, you know, being off state probation for the first time in 12 years. You know, there was a lot of things. And you know, the sick, insane thinking does tricks. You know, it plays with your mind. And I know it's important for me and for anybody else who's thinking about it to talk to another addict. Because, you know, when you don't communicate, there's a movie, like, I think it's stuck in my head somewhere. It was by Cool Hand Luke, and that guy who says, what we got here is a failure to communicate. And I think I took that literally to myself. And I really didn't communicate with people too much. You know, last couple of times I went out and used, you know, I was in a good prayer mode, and I even asked God to keep me safe. If I have to go through this, to keep me safe enough to make it back to the rooms to change. And he did. You know, I had to go through the insanity, I guess, to be where I'm at right now, to understand what I understand today. You know, it took a lot of hard knocks, but I'm not going to forget. You know, I mean, I've heard Kurt speak a lot of times, and I mean, he's tried to help me out, you know, and I just like, yeah, okay. You know, I could be in a conversation with somebody, and he's in the middle of telling me something, and I'll just walk away. You know, that's how I used to be. It's getting better. It's getting better. You know, I always used to think that everybody didn't like me. You know, that everybody, you know, wanted to talk about me or shit like that. You know, and I know that's not true. It's just an insane frame of mind that I've been in most of my life. You know, and it's changing. It's taking a long goddamn time, but it's changing. You know, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, I'm learning to take life one day at a time. You know, it's a lot easier. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Patty.
I'm an addict called Patty.
Hi, Patty.
You know, I have been to, since I've been in this fellowship where you have to come up and talk into a microphone, and that has caused me not to do it. You know, so this is like my first time. And I'm not very clear-headed anyway. You know, my thoughts are not real clear. Like, I have a hard time organizing them. But this second step, and I was late. I had to work tonight, but I left early because this second step is, I need it really bad at this point in my life. And, you know, I missed what the speaker had to say about it. But I've read that sanity is the process of becoming whole. And in order for me to understand things, first I have to understand what they're not. And then I can understand what they are. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but it's like thinking backwards. But so this process of trying to become whole, a whole person again, all these things that I do that, like, fracture me like drug use and dishonesty, lack of trust, all these things that, all this behavior that I still have, even though I'm not using drugs, that like, it just, it keeps me from becoming a whole person. And the process of coming to believe, and it has been a process for me, not something that happened overnight. It's taken me a long time to acknowledge that there is a power greater than myself, and more, that power is spiritual. Okay, I could believe that Narcotics Anonymous was a power greater than myself, but I had a hard time believing that there was a spiritual base to it. And I haven't completely gone through the process, but I'm in it. And my head is screwed up most of the time, but I know that I'm in that process of coming to believe, and that as long as I don't quit, because, you know, my mind tells me all the time, Phil, you know, you're trying to be something you're not. As long as I don't quit and I keep coming back, that the process can continue, you know, for me to become a whole person. And that's kind of what I've got on the second step so far. When I first heard it, when I first started coming around, I could not understand why the step didn't read, we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to sanity. No, I couldn't understand that, you know. But I'm coming to believe that it's the same guarantee, you know, and that's where the hope is for me, that as long as I do what I'm supposed to do, and to the best of my ability, not participate in things that fracture me. That's the only way I can describe it, because my head gets so blown out, you know. That I can't hardly think sometimes, you know. And at work, I have a hard time functioning, you know. Like if I'm late on purpose, if I don't want to be there and I act it and I have an attitude towards everybody, I get like fractured and I can't work. My sponsor has, you know, in his experience, believed in the that the steps and the traditions are closely, you know, related. And so when I do a step now, I always try and look at the tradition too, you know, even though I'm writing on the step. And I see that, like for us as a group, it's the same thing. You know, acknowledging that our ultimate authority is a loving God keeps us from getting fractured like everybody shares. Everybody wants their own way and their own, you know, their thinking is right. You know, nobody else can be right. But as long, then when we do that, look what happens. You know, I've seen it a lot, you know. When opinions, when group conscience is no longer group conscience, it just becomes a bunch of opinions. It fractures everybody, and you don't get anything done, and you wind up spending, you know, like 8 hours in area service, and I say, what did we do? I'm just grateful, grateful, grateful to be clean. Thanks for letting me share.